So I have a 30-some-year-old daughter. I think she's 32. But when she was in elementary school, she got nominated for a program called People to People Student Ambassador Program. I don't know if you've heard of it. But the intent of the program is to send kids out into different cultures, and they would go to different countries, or they would go to foreign and domestic places, out of country, in country. My daughter got nominated in fourth grade for this. So I was a little nervous about it because the trip was to England. They were going there to check out castles, and one of them was the one that where they filmed Harry Potter. So she was excited about that. But we felt like she was too young. She was nervous, really nervous. So we decided not to send her in fourth grade. But once you're nominated, you can go every year. You're nominated from then on. The following year in fifth grade, the same teacher encouraged her, hey, you should do this. The trip was to Hawaii. I'm like, I want to be a chaperone, right? But it was to Hawaii. Again, she was nervous. One of the things they did was snorkeling, and she was scared of sharks. She didn't want to go snorkeling. But my wife and I, Kim and I, we thought, you know what? This is like a once-in-a-lifetime chance. It was a two-week trip, and she went. They did everything. I mean, you name it, they did it. If I went to Hawaii, I hope that I get to do all the things they did. They went to see the Arizona at Pearl Harbor, and they camped up in volcanoes and went through caves that the volcanoes, the lava made, and they went to plantations like coffee and pineapple. I mean, I can't even think of all the stuff they did. They went to Waikiki Beach. It was an amazing trip, and it was great for her, and she did meet people from all over the world. Matter of fact, she met a girl from New York City, and her name, my wife's name is Kimberly Wright. This girl's name was Kimberly Rife, so that was kind of unique, but she had a great time. But the thing about this trip, she's nominated for life. She's part of their organization. She's part of that family. She has a privilege from that nomination that she's part of this thing, okay? It's different now, but, and I'm not sure she could go at 32 years old, but maybe, I don't know, maybe as a chaperone. But have you ever belonged to an organization or belonged to something that you were part of and you had privileges because you were part of that? I have, but as believers, we are adopted into God's family. We're part of something. The Bible tells us we're adopted into his family when we put our faith in Jesus. And because we're part of that family, the Holy Spirit, well, because we have faith, the Holy Spirit indwells us. And through that Holy Spirit, we have privileges as believers. And today, we're going to list some of those off. Paul talks about some of these things. And we're going to start off reading Romans 8, verse 15. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. And honestly, ladies, this is sons and daughters, okay? By whom we cry, Abba, Father. Wow, that's amazing. I love that last part. But we'll get to that in a minute. But before we know Jesus, we are slaves. We are slaves to sin. We're slaves to our human nature that we inherited from Adam. And because of that, we are under God's judgment. And there is fear in that. Even people who don't know or don't believe in Jesus or don't really believe he exists, they have fear of death. They have fear of what's going to happen. There is fear in that judgment. But when we put our faith in Christ, We're no longer slaves. That's what Paul beautifully writes here. We're no longer slaves. There's no longer fear of punishment. We've been forgiven of all the sin we've committed and all the sin we're going to commit when we truly have faith in Jesus. And that's because we have, when we put our faith in Jesus, Paul wrote about this earlier, we've been imputed with the righteousness of Jesus. It's not our goodness, not our righteousness that saves us, but it's our faith in Jesus, and he gives us his righteousness. So when God looks down on us, he sees the righteousness of Jesus on us, right? So we're forgiven. But instead of this fear that we have before we have faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, as believers, gives us a different spirit. He gives us the spirit of adoption. We're adopted into God's family. God, look, God's saying here, I'm not going to put you back into slavery. I'm not going to force you to serve me. I'm not going to force you to serve me. And we don't have to fear punishment, like I said earlier, because we've been forgiven. Like, when we mess up, we're not going to get kicked out of God's family. We're adopted in there. We cannot be taken out. We have, the first privilege here that I want to talk about is we have the privilege of security and freedom because of our faith in Jesus. Isn't that awesome? We have security. We can know for sure that we're adopted. When I worked in the secular world, I went to work, and I would love to say that I love my job, but I didn't. And that's the truth. Why did I go there? Because I really was like a slave. I needed to take care of my family. I had to go to work. So listen, I obeyed because I needed that job. I did what they wanted me to do, and they gave me the money to provide. I basically was a slave. But listen, when we come into a relationship with Jesus and we're adopted into God's family, we're children of God. This relationship is different. We're not serving under this slavery. Maybe some dads might force us to work. They want us to work, and they're going to, I guess, kind of make us do that. But we're not slaves to our dads. And we're not serving our dad under fear. At least I didn't. It's a different kind of relationship. And we're not going to get kicked out. Our dad's not going to kick us out of the family when we mess up, if we have a healthy relationship with our parents. In Romans 8:12, at the beginning of what we're actually talking about today, Paul writes this: "So then, brothers, we are debtors." Okay? What is he talking about? What are we debtors to? And we have to remember what he wrote earlier in chapter 8. He said that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives us life. He gives us the power to live for the God. And he also is going to resurrect us and give us eternal life with the Lord. And Paul here in verse 12 is saying, because of that, we're debtors. We owe God something. We owe the Spirit something. But here's the awesome thing. God is not forcing us to serve him as a slave or out of fear. We serve him out of love. We serve him out of love. When we come to him, we're debtors, but God's not holding us to that. He set us free from that, and he wants us to serve him because we love him. Chuck Swindoll, a pastor, wrote this. He says, "We have been freed. We have been freed when we put our faith in Jesus. And therefore, we are free indeed. God purchased us. The payment was his son's death on the cross. And while God had every right to own us as a slave, he tore up the bill of sale and he made up new paperwork that says, you're adopted. He gave us adoption papers. Isn't that wonderful? That's a little emotional, actually, but because we have the spirit of adoption, we have another privilege in the spirit, and we have a new identity. We have a new identity. Look, back in 86, this is probably going to show you how old I am, sorry. Back in 86, I got married to Kim. And before I was married, I was Gary, the single guy, or Gary, the bachelor. But when we got married, I became a husband. I had a new identity. In 93, Kim and I had our first child, and I got another new identity. I became a father. And guess what? Through faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit gives us a new identity. We are sons and daughters. We're sons and daughters through faith in Jesus Christ and through the indwelling Holy Spirit. That is amazing. And our true identity is not found in worldly things like achievements or career choices or our social status. Our true identity is found in Christ alone. And where we receive the spirit of, or when we receive this spirit of adoption and become sons and daughters of God, sorry, I got messed up on my notes. Because we're sons and daughters of God, we have another privilege that the Spirit provides us. We have intimacy with God. We have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Paul says this, we can cry, Abba, Father. And the word Abba it means something very endearing. It means daddy. We have a heavenly daddy when we come to faith in Jesus and we have the indwelling spirit. Look, in the Garden of Eden, back near creation, Adam and Eve had this type of relationship with God. But they messed up. They sinned. And it messed this relationship up. But God sent Jesus, his son, to fix it. He died on the cross. Well, first he lived a perfect life, which only he could because he's Jesus, God in the flesh. He died on the cross for our sins to pay the penalty for our sin. He was buried, and praise God, he rose again 3 days later. And because of that, when we put faith in that, we receive the Holy Spirit. And because we have faith, this faith, we have a father-son relationship with our Creator, the Creator of the universe. Can you believe this? Look, we can cry out to the Creator of the universe, Abba, Father, Daddy, help me. We have the freedom and the privilege of going straight to the Creator of the universe. Hebrews 4:16 is another beautiful passage. It says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can come to the Heavenly Father and confidence. And the word confidence means bold, boldness, frankness, pouring out our heart. And we can come to our heavenly daddy without hesitation or fear. We have direct access to him. And we can come boldly to the God's throne. And I love how Paul talks about God's throne. He calls it the throne of grace. He calls it the throne of grace. When we sin, we can come to the Lord and say, Daddy, I messed up. Please forgive me. I want to turn away from this. Please forgive me. He will give us mercy. When we're in time of need, when we're struggling in life, we can say, Daddy, help me. And he will show us this grace. He's there. And we have access to him. And here's what we do, though. We know we have this access to our heavenly daddy, the creator of the universe. But we take it for granted. He doesn't want us just to come to him when we sin. He don't want us just to come to him when we're in need. He wants an intimate relationship with us. He wants us to talk to him on the daily. He wants us to praise him. He wants us to tell him about what's going on in our lives. Look, he wants to be our friend. He wants to be our father. I encourage you. If you're not already, have a prayer life. Have a time with God on a daily. It will change your life, believers. Believers have this intimate relationship with God. But sometimes, if you're like me, I've doubted this relationship at times. Have you ever doubted whether you really believe? I have too. But the next privilege that the Holy Spirit gives us is the privilege of assurance that we belong to God. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, our inner being, that we are children of God. I can't explain to you how this works. But the Spirit confirms that we belong. But I want to tell you this. I think we can ask the Spirit to reveal to us that we belong to God. And I believe he will show us that. But there's another way that we know we belong to God. And that's through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. We can look at our life. And I can say to you, actually, let me read you this verse first. This is Romans 8:14. Paul says, for all who are led by the Spirit, that'd be the Holy Spirit of God, are sons and daughters of God. What he's saying here is, if you're led by the Spirit, you're in God's family. Or we could say it this way. If you're sons of God, you're led by the Spirit. There's no other thing. If we truly are believers, we are led by the Spirit. So if you want proof that you belong to God, ask yourself this question. Am I led by the Spirit? Is there change in my life? And I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about, I can look back in my life 20 years ago when I have doubt and I'm like, I am not that man. I can see huge changes in my life. That is the proof to me that I belong to the Lord. Jesus says, so I kind of want to explain to you what it looks like to be led by the Spirit. And Jesus says this in Mark 7:23. Actually, in this whole passage where Jesus is talking, I think he says this something like this three times. But he says, all these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. So what Jesus is talking about, what he's saying here is he's saying, what's on the inside of you is going to show up on the outside. And he gives us a list of what it looks like to be led by our natural self, our sinful desires, or our natural sinful desire self. The Bible calls that the flesh. But he says this in the next two verses. This is Mark 7, 20, 21 and 22. For from within, and here again he mentions it again, out of the heart of man comes evil thoughts. And here's the list. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery. And if you ever studied the Sermon on the Mount, murder and adultery doesn't have to be something we actually act out. It can be something that we fantasize about. Or if we are mad at somebody, Jesus says that's the same as murdering them. If we have lustful thoughts, Jesus says that's the same as adultery. Okay, so it's not always an outward thing. It comes from within. Verse 22, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. This is who we are without Christ. This is our natural self that we inherited. And when we don't have Christ, this is what we follow. That's a hard list. But when we look at it, when I look at it truthfully, I know that's who I was. But Paul gives a different kind of list in Galatians 5. He gives a list, and I read this to you a few weeks ago, of what it looks like to be led by the Spirit. These are called the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Look, he's going to list a bunch of things, but all of them have to do with love. And the love that only Christ provides for us, that only God has. We may love somebody and do good things to somebody occasionally, but we're not naturally going to treat our enemies good. This is a self-sacrificing love that God gives to us through his Spirit. But the fruits of the Spirit are love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's leading us. We have this love in us. We have peace. That means when our whole world is falling down, we can have the peace beyond all understanding because we can trust Jesus is in control of all things. We can have joy. You know why? Because someday we're going to heaven, right? This is temporary. And we can have self-control. We can have self-control through the Spirit's leading. That means we don't have to do the things that's on Jesus' list when we have the Spirit living inside of us. He gives us self-control. And that self-control will change us. The Spirit will change us. So we're either led by the flesh, or we are led by the Holy Spirit. There are no other choices. There are no other choices. We either know, have faith in Jesus, or we don't. When we are led by the Spirit through faith in Jesus, the Spirit does his sanctifying work. He begins to change us. If he's living in there, there's going to be change. And And what sanctifying means to be set apart. It means to be made holy. And a simple way to say it is, the Holy Spirit is making us more like Jesus every day. Look, we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be perfect till Jesus comes back if we're believers. We're not going to be perfect, but he will change us. And some of the things take a while. I struggled with some stuff. Like the Holy Spirit was saying, hey, Gary, you need to change this. And I would say, okay, I'll change. And then I went back to it, right? But there was other changes that were more easy. Listen, this work, this sanctifying work, is a lifetime of the Holy Spirit working in us. I'm not giving you the okay to sin and say, well, he's working on me. But I'm saying we can look back and we should be able to see that he's changed us in some way. If we're led by the flesh, we're going to produce fruit. So if we're led by the Spirit, we're going to produce the fruit that Paul talked about. If we're led by the flesh, we're going to produce the stuff that Jesus talked about. The fruit is what comes from the change, from what's inside of us. What we're doing is what the fruit is. Look, these lists, I didn't read them to you to judge you. I didn't. And they're not in here to judge. They're not in here to judge you. They're in here to show you that you, first of all, that you need Jesus. And secondly, they're in here to prove whether or not we truly know Christ and have the Spirit living inside of us. That's why they're there. And I encourage you to look at them and really reflect on your life. Do I really have the Spirit in me? Is there really change in my life? Is the Spirit really leading me and changing me? The lists are there to prove that we're sons and daughters. And when we know we're sons and daughters, we get something else. We get another privilege. We get an inheritance. Verse 17, and if we're children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. The Spirit gives us the privilege of being heirs with Christ. Listen, in Paul's day, and in Jesus, when Jesus was alive, the eldest son got the inheritance. It kept all the wealth in the family, so it wouldn't be spread out. But the eldest son got the inheritance. But as believers, it's different. We share the inheritance with the eldest son. The eldest son is Christ. Whatever is his is ours. Whatever is his is ours. We on this earth, sometimes it's hard to see that, but someday it's going to change. So whatever Christ has, we have. Romans 8:29, which is we're going to talk about in a few weeks. Paul writes, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that in order that he might be the firstborn among the brothers. Listen, one of our inheritances is someday we're going to be transformed into the image of Jesus. We're going to have heavenly bodies, spiritual bodies, and we're going to be like Jesus. We're no longer going to have the sin. We're going to be different, and we're going to be free. And when we have this inheritance, another part of the inheritance is we get to spend eternity with God in heaven. Listen, in Matthew 13:43, it says, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. We as children get to go home to be with our daddy. It only comes through faith. It comes from faith. Listen, these privileges are amazing. Look, but we're not only heirs of Jesus with future things. On this earth, sometimes the things we deal with aren't that great. And it's hard when there's suffering and hardship going on, it's hard to see that we're heirs with Christ. Listen, Christians, you're going to suffer in this world. Jesus never denies that. Matter of fact, he promises that we will. And Christians, we're going to suffer the pains that this world faces. We're going to experience death in our family. We're going to experience sickness. We're going to experience hardships. That's not part of the things that we're going to inherit. Those things aren't going away just because we know Christ. We're all going to experience those things. But we will also suffer as Christians because we belong to God's family. When we talk about Jesus and we live for Jesus, people are going to ridicule and tease us and persecute us. We're going to inherit that persecution that Jesus inherited as well. He was persecuted. Honestly, he was put to death. We're fortunate in our country that we can worship freely. But Jesus was put to death. But we are going to face this ridicule. I mean, someday that could happen. I'm not saying it won't. But right now, we are going to inherit this persecution. And Jesus promises that. In John 15, verses 18 and 19, Jesus says, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Listen, if we belong to Jesus, the world hates Jesus. Jesus, when he was here, and still now, he shows us that we're sinful people, and the world doesn't want to hear about that. They want to stay where, a lot of folks want to stay where they're at. And the world hated Jesus. But because we belong to Jesus and we're teaching that same message, the world will hate us because of Jesus. We will inherit that as well. And if you live your life for Christ and you tell people the good news, you've probably already experienced that. Here's the good news. The suffering is temporary. That was the worst news of the whole passage right there. But it's the truth. I can't leave out the bad stuff, sorry. But 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of the glory beyond all comprehension. Listen, this suffering we're dealing with on this earth is temporary, and it's nothing compared to the glory that we're going to receive when we get to heaven. Right? It's like when my wife had our child, it was so hard. She struggled so hard. And I thought, man, I couldn't believe how much pain she was in. But once the baby was here, oh man, we never thought about the pain again. She didn't even think about the pain again. Well, until she got pregnant again, I guess. But listen, when the child came, it was all worth it. It's the same for us. Someday we get glory. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more death. We'll have bodies like Christ. And we're going to spend eternity with our daddy. And as believers, We can enjoy all these privileges because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He's changing us, and he's giving us these privileges. And it all starts with putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And I have to ask you, do you have faith in Jesus? Do you truly have the Spirit living inside of you? If you're here this morning and you're not sure, or the Lord's speaking to you and you want to put your faith in Christ, please come and talk to me or somebody with a lanyard on after the gathering. We would love to talk with you.